I want to look at the Word of God, and y'all can put the side cameras up. I guess y'all had to do it already because of the battery. And welcome to the church, those of you online right now. I'm glad Pal Talk finally got their stuff hooked back up. And they seem to monitor when we have church, and they have to do their maintenance right before our services. But that's all right. I'm glad they're there. Amen. And I really don't believe that. They're probably not paying any attention to us at all, but it's a good dream. Amen. I'm going to go to the book of Acts, the 10th chapter. Amen. Acts, 10th chapter. A lot of times we take so much for granted because we get in the Word of God, and some of us have been around a few years and we've heard many things over and over. But there are many people tuning in for the very first time. Some going to hear some things tonight that many have heard, and others going to hear it for the very first time. And also some of those that have heard before are going to hear for the first time things you didn't notice before in the 10th chapter of Acts. It's the way it always works. The Word of God is something that just has a way of opening up new revelations sometimes of things that have been there all the time. Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. Everybody say Cornelius. And he was a centurion of a band called Italian, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. Would you repeat after me? Cornelius was a devout man who loved God. And he gave offerings. He gave alms. He gave alms to the people. And he prayed to God always. Would you say that? And he prayed always? You can be seated. Amen. Now, to the ordinary ears hearing these words, you would think, man, what a saint of God. What a child of God. What a saved person, if there ever was one. This man must be one. A devout man. One that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. There are not a whole lot of people in the world that can live up to these words that I'm reading right now. Praying to God always, giving big offerings to the people, loving God with all your heart, with your whole house, being very devout. But you know, even with all of this going on in his life, and all this was good, he needed more. And who are we, people out there listening in or watching us tonight, who are we to claim that we have all that we need? When we can go to the Bible and find people that were devout and prayed always, loved God with all their hearts, who needed more. He saw in a vision, this is verse 3, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God. Not a whole lot of people can testify that they have actually seen an angel of God and knew about it. And you would certainly think of a devout, praying, godly man who gives and serves and seeks after God and even sees an angel, surely has everything that he needs. But this man needed more. And you know what? If he could need more with all this going on in his life, it's possible somebody watching or listening could need more too. And when he looked on him, when he looked upon this angel, verse number 4, he was afraid. He said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Your prayers and your alms are come up a memorial before God." Now, you know what? To get God to notice is something special. To be able to say, to hear an angel tell you in person that you have prayed, you sought after God, and you've given from the heart, and you've loved God with your whole heart, and you've done everything that should be done along these lines, and have an angel of the Lord himself to appear to you and say, what you are doing is a memorial before God. And yet he needed more. And I'm going to tell you, if Cornelius at this point needed more, there's nobody out there listening or watching me that possibly doesn't need more.
Amen.
So don't turn yourself off to possibilities. Don't block yourself from potential, because there's more available for you tonight. Amen. Let's all thank the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, we need a little bit more. We just need a little bit more. Amen. We have an example here of somebody that needed more, and yet he prayed always, gave alms. He would be what you would call a very qualified church person, as far as the way most churches would see an individual. I mean, he would fit into almost any church especially in the almsgiving, almost any church would love to have that, that gives much offerings to the people. We could use a man like that, couldn't we? Amen. Because we could use a little more. But everybody needs a little more from where you are. And let's find out in this 10th chapter of the book of Acts what a praying, godly, offering, giving prayer warrior that's praying to such a degree that he gets the attention of God, and God sends an angel to say, your prayers and offerings have come up as a memorial before God. Let's find out what more he could possibly need. Amen. And so the angel of the Lord told him what to do. He said, send some men to Joppa, verse 5. Call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, do you remember who Peter is? He's the one that walked with Jesus. And in one of the conversations we read about in the Gospels, he was with the Lord along with some of the other disciples when the Lord turned to them and said, who do men say that I am? Who do people claim that I am? Who do they say that I am? And so they had this conversation. One said, well, some say you're Elijah. Others say you're John the Baptist, come back, or one of the other prophets. He turned and he looked at them straight, and he looked at Peter and he said, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And Peter is the one that replied, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because this was not revealed to you by, in so many words, human understanding. This didn't come to you through philosophy. This didn't come to you through your carnal nature. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But it came to you from my Father, which is in heaven. Amen. And somebody out there, maybe because of your closed mind and you haven't paid attention to what we're really saying here, you might have thought that we don't believe the Father could be in heaven while Jesus is on the earth. But see, that's because you missed the whole point of everything we're teaching. Maybe you need something more. Amen. Even Jesus believed in the Father. Hallelujah. It's just a matter of getting your understanding open, and God can do this for you if you will let Him, to realize that we're talking spiritual things here. God is spirit. He fills all creation with His presence. Nobody has ever seen God at any time, and yet we can talk about Jesus and say Jesus is God. But when you look upon the flesh, you're not looking upon flesh that is God. If you could see Jesus, you're looking upon the manifestation through the flesh of something that God really is. And you see the deeds of what Jesus did in His manhood as a Savior, as the Christ, as the Messiah. You can see the acts of what Jesus did, and you can see it portrayed in the Word of God. And nobody can go to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus is the door to the Father. Jesus is the door to that entrance. He is the entranceway into the Spirit of God. But if you can come to understand this, then you can get a proper understanding of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Because most understanding of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is taught by human wisdom and understanding. But if you want a true revelation of who God really is, let the Father reveal it to you. Don't, you know, be like Peter when you start talking to Jesus and start saying the right things. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And hear God say to you, you know what? You didn't get that from flesh and blood. That came from my Father. And I say to you, up on this rock, I will build my church. Not upon you, Peter. You're not the rock. You're a little stone. That's what your name means. I'm talking about a big rock. Upon this rock of who God really is and what God can really reveal. Upon this rock of revelation, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. God didn't use Peter for a foundation of the church. God didn't use Peter for the foundation, but He made Peter able to present the foundation. God did not build a church upon Simon Peter, but the word that Simon Peter preached is something that God used to build His church. Hallelujah. He built it upon Jesus Christ, upon the rock that is firm and strong, a true foundation. But so this man needed something more, and the angel of the Lord said, your prayers have been heard, and it's come up as a memorial before God. God has paid attention to your prayers, Cornelius. And I want you to send some people and go talk, have them go talk to Simon, have them go talk to Peter. Have them go talk to the one that I have said some things to. Because what God had said through Jesus to Peter was, since you have this revelation, since you have given the right answer, since you are where you are at this place at this time, since I've chosen you, Peter, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. What God was saying through Jesus Christ to Simon Peter in that conversation was, I'm backing you. In other words, Peter, if you should tell people what to do in order to be saved, that will be the plan of salvation, because that is God's backing of the servant that I have called. And so there's, God doesn't make mistakes. I mean, it looked like a mistake. I mean, He chose this man, and it wasn't long after this conversation before Peter was swearing and cursing and saying, I don't even know Jesus. I'm not one of His followers, because he was afraid of the mob. He was afraid of the people that were out to kill Jesus, and he had lost faith. He had given up in thinking that, you know, his dream had been destroyed and all his hopes of what he had really thought would happen was just going up in smoke, in so many words. And he seemingly didn't really understand what Jesus was saying until he heard a rooster crowing three times. Then it dawned on him. He had been listening to the words of Jesus in a conversation when he had said to Jesus, no matter what, Lord, I'll stand with you. They won't get you. They'll have to go through me to get you. Oh, I'll go with you through the storms. I'll go with you through the trials. You can count on me, Lord. And then they came out to crucify Jesus, and Peter hid out. But just before he started hiding out, Jesus said, you know what? You're going to deny me three times before the cock crows and before the rooster crows. You're going to deny me three times. The same man he gave the keys to the kingdom to, he looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. I'd a whole lot rather have an angel appear before me saying, God's hearing your prayers in the ear. The Lord said, get behind me, Satan. Hallelujah. But God knows what He's doing. And when He called Peter, when He called him, and when He told him, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. From that point forward, no matter what would happen, God was going to bring His word to pass. He found him later after he had sworn, turned against God, and said all these terrible things and denied that he even knew the Lord. He had another conversation with him. And just as Peter had denied the Lord three times, he asked him the question three times, do you love me? Hallelujah. Do you love me? Do you love me? Hallelujah, hallelujah. And he restored Peter, the man with the keys to the kingdom. And here he is, not only has he been restored, but now Simon Peter has had an experience. He's had an experience. He was the man that we read about that Brother Justin was referring to as he was reading the scriptures while ago in the book of Acts. It was this man called Peter that was standing there representing the cause of Jesus Christ with 120 people, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as they were being filled with the Holy Ghost and such an exciting thing was going on in the upper room in Jerusalem. Or wherever they were meeting. Some people say that they had gone to the upper room and then possibly this all took place. That, you know, there are a lot of theories out there, but I just, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they went to the upper room and it happened in the upper room. But whatever it was a high lifted up experience.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This man is the man that God was sending Cornelius representatives to go talk to him and get an answer. Amen. He had been restored fully. And also, those keys to the kingdom were being used. On the day of Pentecost, when the multitude said, "What shall we do?" It was Peter that said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." It was this man. When he said that, you can mark it down that God backed it. He wasn't making a mistake. He was chosen of God to tell the people on behalf of God what to do in order to find God. And how that God had worked it out so you could do these couple of things and God would give you the precious gift of the Holy Ghost to whosoever will. Hallelujah. And you see, Cornelius didn't know about all this yet. But he was a praying man. Cornelius did not understand and had never had an opportunity. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He was not one that was privileged to be in the upper room where all these Jews had assembled, still thinking salvation is of the Jews. Salvation is for the Jews. God has chosen the Jews. And it hadn't quite penetrated their little brains yet that God had broken down all the walls of partition between Jew and Gentile and counted all under sin, including the Jews. And what God had promised for all people everywhere included not only the Jews, but also included the Gentiles. Whosoever the Lord would call, He wanted everybody to know that what is happening to those Jews in the upper room on the day of Pentecost is being poured out upon all flesh. All flesh. Not just the Jews, but all flesh. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you are, what religion you are, you can receive the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I don't care what nationality, I don't care where you're listening right now, if you're in a communist country, if you're under some kind of oppression, if you're in some kind of a legalistic system where you can't worship God, you can still receive the Holy Ghost. Because you got the backing of God. It's a gift of God, and God will see that it happens if you want Him in your life. He will bind all the forces of evil to give you what it is that He has available. Thank you. Cornelius, you've been heard. You've been noticed. You've been recognized. God sees and hears. Before this day, there never had been a Gentile on the face of the earth that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and been baptized in Jesus' name. It never had happened before. Only the Jews. This was the first time that this was ever going to take place. Because it was an introduction of what God had already arranged. But there were some fearful things, you know, amongst the Jews here. I mean, it's like going to the other side of the tracks and offering something that's precious that God has available. Going over there to those people who are thought of as nothing more than dogs. Gentiles, you know. Them. And so here's Peter, about to be called upon to do an assignment for God. Amen. Cornelius, your prayers have been heard, and God has taken notice, and it's all come up as a memorial before God. So send some men to Joppa and call for Peter. He's lodging with one who's called Simon. He's a tanner. His house, he gave him directions to where he lived. His house is by the seashore, seaside, and he will tell you. Everybody say, He will tell you what you ought to do. Now, he had already become such a prayer warrior that he was recognized by God Almighty for his prayers. And such a sincere giver that God noticed, and it was a memorial unto God. And God even sent an angel to say so. God sees and hears. And God is here to tell you what to do. And you send some men to talk to Peter, and he'll tell you what you ought to do. It's not that the prayers were bad. The prayers were good. The offerings were good. His devotion was good. But he still needed something more. Hallelujah. I'm going to send you. I want you to send some men to talk to the man that I gave the keys to. to the kingdom to. I want to send you to the one that has found revelation from Almighty God, the Father of all creation, concerning who the Christ is. I'm going to send you to that one. And he'll tell you. Peter will tell you what you ought to do. Hey, look. If anybody's out there listening, or if anybody's in here tonight that has not paid attention to what Peter told us we ought to do, you ought to do it. There's something more for you. There's something beyond your prayers that's available to you. There's something greater than your gifts that you've given to help others. There's something greater for you. It's a loving God who's brought you to this point to tell you, hey, I love you so much, I will not withhold my best from you. Hallelujah. And if you're at the point tonight where you've been praying and you've been seeking after God for more fulfillment and you want more of God in your life and you want to know for sure that you're a child of God and you want to be what you should be and please God with all your heart, let me tell you, just like the angel said to Cornelius, your prayers have been heard. Amen. Your prayers have been recognized. God is on the scene right now and He wants you to know He cares enough about you that He's going to tell you what you ought to do next. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He's going to tell you what you ought to do. Now, you don't have to send a Joppa to find Peter asleep on top of a house. You're here where the words have been written and recorded in the Bible and have been preserved for 2,000 years. So that we can still go to the same one that God gave the keys to the kingdom to, and we can see what it is that Peter said we ought to do to have something more. And what he's going to say here to Cornelius is the same message that he said to the whole multitude in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in the book of Acts. The same with different words, but yet the same message. And the experience that is going to be received among these Gentiles will be identical to the experience received by those Jews in that upper room on the day of Pentecost. Amen. Let's read it. It's all right here in black and white in my Bible. Amen. Amen. It's such a precious word of God. Peter's going to tell these men what you ought to do. So when the angel which spoke to Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. This was a rich man. This was one of those high class dudes. He was a man that had a lot of influence. Amen. It's okay to be rich and love God. Amen. When he had declared all these things to these men, he sent them to Joppa, just as the angel had said to do. The next day, as they went on their journey, verse 9, on the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh to the city, see, Peter didn't know all this was going on. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Unknowing that any of this was happening, Peter went up to pray on the top of the house. Amen. And he became very hungry. And he had you ever been hungry before? You know what that feels like, right? You know what it feels like to just get hungry and want to eat something? There have been times when I was real hungry, Mama would be cooking something, and I just couldn't wait to get into it, but it wasn't ready yet. The smell was coming out of that kitchen. Whew, man, I wanted some of them chicken and dumplings, you know, but they weren't quite ready yet. I wanted some of those big old biscuits, and she can really make some good gravy and a lot of good things, and my Mama's a good cook. I wanted some of that banana pudding, but it wasn't quite ready yet. Or on Thanksgiving, I wanted some of that turkey and some of that stuffing. I wanted some of that, but it wasn't quite prepared yet. You know what I would do many times in order for it to happen quick? I'd go to a little back room there until she called me, and I'd just go to sleep because I wanted to wake up and have it ready. You know, if you're real hungry and you want to eat and make it seem like you're getting to it fast, just go to sleep while the meal's cooking, and when you wake up, it's time to eat. It works for me. Amen. So anyway, here's Peter. He goes up, and he probably was hungry before he went up there. He's just a human being. He might have been like I was. You know, when it's time to eat, He might have said, oh, they're cooking and I'm hungry, but I'm hungry now, but oh, I tell you what, I'll just go upstairs and go to sleep. And they can call me and then I'll get up and eat. Hallelujah. For whatever reason, he went upstairs to pray. Got on the roof and started praying. Amen. I guess a rooftop makes a pretty good prayer closet. But while he was up there, he became very hungry. And he would have eaten. But while they were cooking, while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open. Now this is a trance. It's like, it's a vision. He's up there asleep, but God comes to him and opens up things that go beyond dreaming. And it becomes God speaking. And this is what was happening to him. He saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him. And he had been, a great sheet knit at four corners and let down to the earth. Kind of reminds me of a vision I had. Not that I'm saying I'm great or anything, but several years ago I had a vision of arms around the world, and we're seeing fruit from that. If nothing was happening today, you could say it was just a bean dream or I was just a hungry dream. But we heard that testimony this morning, which lets us know there's something to this dream. Amen. Arms around the world, that dream that God gave me of a net stretching around the world, it was God. That was not me. That was God. It was something that I fell into, and I can identify with Peter. Not that I'm one of the apostles or anything like that. I'm just a man, but I'm a man that loves God. And God showed me this net going around the world. And as I looked upon it, the knots in the net became arms of people linked together. And it was arms around the world. It was the arms of people holding on to one another. Amen. And a great hand came down from above all of that and took hold of that top knot that was on that net and started lifting it upward. And all these people around the world started going upward toward that great hand that was lifting them up. That's how Arms Around the World Ministry was born, because of that vision. That's why we're doing the internet ministry today. That's why we have computers in our church today, because of that vision. That's why hundreds of people around the world are serving God today in truth, who discovered this truth on Arms Around the World. And when the whole story is told, you'll probably hear that there are tens of thousands. Because even on Pal Talk alone, there are over 8 million people that come into Pal Talk. And that's, we're on there right now. Amen. Arms around the world, being seen and heard. Somebody out there around the world is praying, God, I want to serve you. God, I want to live for you. Lord, I want to know what I can do to please you better. I give, I trust, I seek after you. And they're sitting down to the computer right now, and they're about to hear what they ought to do to have something more. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. And what was happening to Peter on this housetop is very similar to that, because the whole world has been affected. Centuries of people hungry after God have been affected by this one moment where he had a vision from God. Hallelujah. There were no computers, there was no electricity, but there was the same God that we serve, who's well able to talk to his servant and say, I want you to do something beyond the ordinary, something different than what you're accustomed to. Look at our church. This is kind of different, isn't it? You ever been to a real church? You ever gone into a real church building? Usually they got a steeple, nice pews, nice carpet. Everything is just spotlessly clean. Usually have ushers at the door. And I'm not belittling any of that. That's all wonderful. We may get there one of these days. Amen. At the rate we're going, I'll be pretty old by then, but we may get there. Amen. But have you ever been to a real church building? There's some in this town. If you've never been in one, take a tour and see what a church is supposed to look like. Walk into one. Yeah, they may not. But I've been in some nice churches where people did have the Holy Ghost. But what God's called us to do, there have been a lot of people that have walked in this place thinking they were going to church, and they looked around and said, and walked away with their noses kind of in the air. We had some people when we were meeting in the Grange Hall said, when you get a real church, we'll get some visitors to come to it. And they haven't been back. In fact, they're not even living for God today. Amen. Yeah, when you get a real church, we'll get some visitors. No, you don't wait till we do it like we think it ought to be done. What we do, we pray and we seek after God till God tells us what to do and what we ought to do so we can get something more. And sometimes God's way is not the ways of man. Man would have God to drive up to Bethlehem, being escorted there in a big limousine driven by George Vogel. Amen. And little baby Jesus in the back seat with a big king with a crown on his head carrying the baby to offer the King of Kings to the Jews of Israel. This is your king coming, riding in a great limousine. And George gets out of the car and says, announcing the King of Kings. And Sister Annie opens the other door and says, my son Jesus is here. That's the way man would want to do it. It didn't happen that way. Amen. There wasn't any George, there wasn't any limousine there. It's just a stable. An old stinking stable with animal stuff. You know what I'm talking about? Not a plush carpet, not a real nice church building, where the King of Kings was presented to the human race. Hallelujah. When he came riding into town, he rode in on a donkey or a mule or whatever you want to read in the Bible. That's what he rode on. Amen. Humble. There wasn't any big fanfare of trumpets blowing and a big crown and a big robe. It was a homeless man with some unemployed followers. Sort of like starting church in a Grange Hall. Hallelujah. Having church in a basement downtown where the rich tycoons, scared to spend their own money, they live like paupers in their 90s, own half the town, still want more. Can't get enough. If you don't pay them pretty close to on time, you can't stay because they got to get richer. What are they going to do with it when they get 110, 115, 120? They ought to give it to us now. We could. They ought to give us all their money and just come to church here and get the Holy Ghost. I guarantee you, they didn't just end up with these last few years they got left enjoying life a whole lot more than this going around these old buildings and having to fix our plumbing every few days and wonder if we're going to pay our rent next time. And they can't even hardly pay theirs because they're scared to part with a dollar. And these are my friends. I'm not talking bad about them. They need something more. Something more than money. I see that old gentleman out there. He recently had a heart attack. Had his heart opened up so the doctors could work with him on the hospital. And finally, the family started coming around and said, have your church to pray. Have your church to pray. And we were praying for him. And he's back out there again. I see him going in and out of these buildings. And I see him pointing that little shaky finger to those people. Say, you fix that over there. We've got to fix this up so we can get some more tenants in here because we've got to pay these bills. What you going to do with all that money? Multimillionaire. And they all drive around in old jalopies that won't hardly even run. And live in little apartments that a homeless gent would be ashamed of sometimes. You're going to get so rich, have all this money. They need something more. Hallelujah, they need something more. So send over here and send some people to Peter, the angel said. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you what you need to do. Peter goes up, he gets hungry. He would have eaten, but he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open, a certain vessel descending, and it was like a great sheet with four corners down to the earth. And there were all kinds of beasts, four-footed beasts on it. And creeping things and and birds, fowls of the air. And a voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Now, there's certain laws amongst the Jews. There's some things they just wouldn't eat. It's considered unclean. He was hungry, but he wasn't thinking about eating that stuff. And Peter said, "No. Not so." Probably at this point, he might have been thinking, "That can't be God." Can't be. Asking me to eat something that's unclean? Something that's been against our laws, against our rules, against what we've always been accustomed to. I'm hearing God say, "Eat that." I am hungry, but not for that. "Rise and eat it, Peter." "No, not so. I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again and said, "What God has cleansed, don't call that common." He was getting his attention and preparing him for what was just about to happen. You know why? Because they had thought these Gentiles were unclean. These Gentiles are not as good as the Jews. These Gentiles don't deserve to have the blessings that the Jews have received. They're common. They're unclean. They're on the other side of the tracks. "Arise, Peter. What God has cleansed, don't call it common." This was done 3 times. Isn't it amazing how God uses thrice? 3 times Peter had denied the Lord. 3 times the Lord said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And now 3 times he puts something that seems to be unclean and tells him, "You eat this stuff." 3 times before him. And says, "What God has cleansed, don't call it common or unclean." And while Peter was doubting in himself what this vision was all about, the men that were sent from Cornelius had asked at Simon's house about, "Where is this man, Peter?" They had inquired, they had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked, "Where does Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there? Do you have..." "Hello, sirs. Could you tell me where I can find Simon Peter?" Gentiles sent from a Gentile to some Jews looking for the man that had the keys to the kingdom of God that could make a difference for eternity with just a few spoken words for individuals. "Could you tell us where this man is? Could you tell us where that fellow is? His name is Peter. He's supposed to know something that we're supposed to find." Can you imagine this conversation? You ever gone somewhere and you didn't know exactly where to find what you were looking for and you had to ask somebody? And how do you explain what it is they're there for? "Hello, we're looking for Simon Peter." "And what is your business?" "Cornelius." "Cornelius? You want to see Simon Peter and you're sent by Cornelius, that dirty Gentile?" I'm reading between the lines now. But this is really what they were up against. They were sent to talk. This is an impossible situation. You don't send a couple of Gentiles out to talk to a saved Jew when Gentiles have never received the Holy Ghost. And as far as Jews are concerned, this is for the Jews only. No matter how many times Jesus told them. They didn't understand the resurrection of Jesus either. As far as they're concerned, when they killed Jesus, it was over with. And Jesus still got up no matter what they thought. "Hello, we're looking for Simon Peter." "Well, while they were looking for him, Peter was up there in the house, not doubting whether any of this was of God at all. He was just hungry, but he knew he didn't want to eat that stuff." Amen. And they said, "Where is Peter? We're looking for him." And while Peter was still up there thinking on this vision that he had just had, verse 19, the Spirit, this is God speaking, the Spirit, capital S, means it was the Spirit of God, or in other words, God the Father, who made all things, was speaking to Simon Peter. The Spirit said unto him, behold, three men are looking for you. Arise, therefore, and go down and go with them, doubting nothing, because I sent them. Hallelujah. That's why he had the vision of the four-footed beast and all the fowls. And that's why all this stuff that he considered to be unclean. That's why he had seen this three times come down, and God was dealing with him and preparing him to do something beyond the ordinary. Because he was just about to open up a door that actually was already open, but God needed somebody to let people know the door was open. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent to him, verse 21, that were sent to him from Cornelius, and said, I'm here whom you seek. What? You know, and I often wonder. I wonder if the people at the gate that were listening to these guys say, where is Peter? We're looking for Peter. I'm wondering if, I kind of have a feeling it was like sometimes when people know that I'm tied up and that phone rings and somebody answers the phone for me, they know my reaction. It depends on who it is and what it's about. If it's a telemarketer, sometimes I'm awake and they don't know I'm awake and I hear them say, he's not interested, bye, and hang up on them. Well, I know it's some telemarketer that I don't want to talk to, and they know I don't want to talk to. So on my behalf, people speak for me and do that for me, and I appreciate it. And I can just imagine this is happening now. Here's Simon Peter, this great man of God who has been with Jesus, who told the people on the day of Pentecost what to do in order to have more than what it's always been, how to get saved. These Gentiles want to talk to him. Well, I'm saying, no matter what you got and what you're on, he's not interested in talking to you. But God Himself intervened and came right down on that rooftop and said, Peter, I sent some people and they're down there asking about you. Because I don't believe these Jews went up to give him the message. It doesn't say they did. Not at this point. So God Himself gave him the message. Hey, some people downstairs are inquiring about you and I sent them. I want you to go with them and don't doubt anything. Go with them because they're sent of God. Hallelujah. So while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said, three men seek you, arise and go get down and go with them, doubting nothing, because I sent them. Then Peter went down to the men that were sent unto him, from Cornelius and said, I'm the one that you're looking for. So why are you here? Verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that fears God, of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel. You know, ordinarily, somebody like Peter or these people that were at that house that day would have said, yeah, right. Because this is just too much information for him to handle right now. This Gentile, he's a good Gentile, he's a rich Gentile, he's got a lot of good things going for him, but they're claiming now that he's a just man and one that fears God, has a good report even among all nations, including the Jews, has been warned from God by an angel. Whew. To send for you and have you come to his house. You think it was faith for Peter to step out of the boat and walk on the water? This took a lot of faith too. This took a lot of faith. Because it was blowing his mind. It was way beyond his comprehension how this could be taking place. But God was doing it. God was doing it. Then called he them in. Amen. And lodged them. He called them to come on in. Spend the night. And the next day, Peter went away with them. And some of the Holy Ghost-filled Jews from Joppa went too. It's kind of like a couple of witnesses just to make sure we need some witnesses here. Because what we're about to do, boys, is going to get talked about. This goes against the grain of every Jew that lives in our day. I mean, this is just not something that we do. So a couple of witnesses go along just to see. I mean, God told him, don't you doubt anything, you go. It's kind of like Moses knowing he's being called of God from a burning bush to deliver the people of Israel. He said, well, can I get some help? How about Aaron, you know? God didn't need Aaron. He needed Moses, but Moses thought he needed Aaron. And Peter didn't need these two guys, but God could have done it without them. But it adds a little security when you can take your trustees along. Your board members or your deacons or whatever. It makes a feeling of security be there. The next day, they started on their journey. Amen. And a couple of brethren went with him. And they came to this place in Caesarea where Cornelius was waiting. And he had called his house together. He had called his kinfolks and some neighbors and some friends. Verse 25. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped. In italics it says, worshipped him. Italics means it wasn't there in the original manuscript. Amen. It means that the translators of the Bible, when they put the italics in, it's up to you to decide if that's what it meant to say or not. I got a feeling it's just what it says without the italics. Cornelius was a praying devout man. He knew who to worship. Hallelujah. He knew who to worship. It says he fell down before him. They fell down at his feet and worshipped. Everybody say he worshipped. Who do you think he was worshipping? Hallelujah. He was thankful that Peter was there, but he was worshipping God. But Peter, because of the way it was looking, I'm sure, took him up and said, stand up. I myself am also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Verse 28. And he said, you know, it's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one of another nation. But God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, this is a message different to the one right at this point. This is sticking your neck out. This is the kind of message Peter was having to preach at this point. Because God had called him to do this work. This is kind of makes you swallow hard. And even though, I mean, he didn't have a textbook to go by. There was no written manuscript. There was no Bible school lessons behind him. He wasn't a doctor of divinity with all these degrees hanging on his wall at home telling him, here's what you do in this kind of situation. All he had was a dream while he was hungry on a rooftop about some unclean animals. And God saying, if I've cleansed it, it's not unclean. And here comes these Gentiles to take him to a Gentile where it's unlawful for him to even go. And he goes because God says do it. Why did he say do it? Because Cornelius needed something more. Not only did Cornelius need something more, Peter needed something more. He needed the experience of the knowledge of God to understand that this wasn't for the Jews only. It's for all people. Amen. I'm almost through. It's a long chapter, but I'll hurry up and get through here. I think it's sometimes good just to read it and just to comment as you go so you can get the gist of what this is a Bible lesson, but it's more than a Bible lesson. It's a reminder. There's more for us available if we'll seek after God. And God will hear your prayers, even if you don't have the Holy Ghost. God will hear your prayers. And if you want something more, if you need something more, keep praying until God shows you what to do. It very well could be somebody's here tonight or somebody's listening or watching that's needing to hear these words tonight. To realize God loves you right where you are. And there's something more available for you. He went in, did the unlawful thing. He said, you know it's unlawful for a man like us to keep company with people like you. But God showed me that I needed to do this. Verse 29, so therefore I came unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent, I asked therefore why you have sent for me. So Cornelius tells him, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothes and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard. Your offerings, your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged at the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, he will speak unto you. Verse 33, immediately, therefore, I sent to you. This is Cornelius saying, immediately, when this angel told me this, I sent for you. And you've done the right thing. You have done well by coming here. Now, therefore, we're all present before God to hear the things that are commanded of you from God. Hallelujah. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, you know, of a truth, I see something here. I perceive. God is no respecter of persons. Now, these other men that came with Peter are probably sitting around the corner writing notes. Because they're going to have to tell everybody what happened around here. And I mean, God told Peter not to doubt, but these other guys that came with Peter, they're the ones going to have to be witnesses if this thing is really of God or not of God. I mean, no matter what Peter claims he heard from God, he's just a man, you know. He could make a mistake. I'm sure that was going through their minds. And what are we going to tell all the other brothers and sisters after we find out that we have messed up? I don't know. But it didn't just take faith from Peter to be there. It took faith of these other men to be there too. But Peter starts preaching and he says, in every nation, I'm convinced and I perceive that God loves us all and even loves you people. In every nation, verse 35, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted with God. These are strange words in that day to say to these people, God is going to accept you. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, the word that God sent to the Jews, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, the Lord of all, that word was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Verse 38, how that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing the oppressed of devils, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And they killed him and they hung him on a tree. But God raised him up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us. And we ate with him after he was dead. After he rose, we ate with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead, the quick and the dead. Verse 43. And to him, to Jesus, gave all the prophets witness. Everybody say that through his name. What is his name, by the way? Now, this is Peter preaching to these Gentiles. That it's to Jesus gave all the prophets witness that through the name of Jesus, anybody, whosoever believes in him, shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter was speaking these words, verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell upon all them that heard the word. And the Jews, verse 45, they of the circumcision, the Jews, which believed, were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And now we find out how they knew it was the Holy Ghost, verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues. That's how the Jews knew the Gentiles had received the Holy Ghost. Amen. Have you done that yet? You need something more. Because every place in the Bible you read where people receive the Holy Ghost, they spoke in tongues. And it's not something you manufacture. It's not something flesh and blood gives to you. Our Father which is in heaven speaks with utterance through you to say, you're my child and I'm your father. The Jews that came with Peter knew that these Gentiles had received the Holy Ghost, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, this is verse 47, that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost like we received it? Can any man say they shouldn't be baptized too, like we were baptized? In verse 48, nobody objected. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. The same one that said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, on the day of Pentecost. We're still preaching that message now to the Gentiles. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And to these people, instead of saying, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, he was witnessing they had just received the Holy Ghost. Now to complete the plan of God, go get buried in the name of Jesus. And it was a commandment. This isn't do it if you want to. It's not optional. God sent Peter to tell them what they needed to do because they needed something more. And when he saw that God poured out the Holy Ghost in these Gentiles, he commanded them to get baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. No need in going this far and not going all the way. If you're out there today in some charismatic movement, if you're out there in some church that doesn't preach baptism in Jesus' name, but you know you received the Holy Ghost because not only did others hear you speak in tongues, but you know that God was moving through you in His Spirit and it is absolutely the Holy Ghost, don't stop. I command you to be baptized in the name of Jesus. According to the Word of God and the authority of the man with the keys of the kingdom, commanded by God Himself to tell people what to do. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may say, well, my church doesn't teach it. Well, let us send some people to tell you what you ought to do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your church, your pastor, everybody needs the truth. Hallelujah. Something more. We know they received it. Well, we heard them speak in tongues. Now they received it. They still need something more. What could possibly be more than being a praying, devout, offering, giving, tithe, paying, fasting, loving God with all your house, with all your heart, seeking after God always, talking to angels, listening to angels tell you what to do, and getting the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues? What could be better than that? Baptism in Jesus' name. Got to be added to that to make it something more that you need. You get the whole package. Hallelujah. You need the whole package. Not just part of it. You think what you got's good, get some more. Amen. Let's come up to the front and praise the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Get some more. If you've been baptized in Jesus' name and you don't have the Holy Ghost, receive you the Holy Ghost. If you receive the Holy Ghost and haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, get baptized in Jesus' name. If you haven't done any more and you're praying and seeking after God, seek after God until you receive the Holy Ghost and get yourself baptized in Jesus' name. It's just that simple. Just that simple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just that simple. We all need something more. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right where you are, just as Peter was preaching, as Peter was speaking, the Holy Ghost fell on them that heard the Word. This is the same Word that was being spoken when the Holy Ghost fell on them. How about letting the Holy Ghost fall on you tonight while I'm speaking these words? Hallelujah. You can receive the Holy Ghost right this moment. Just open your mouth and start speaking to God. The Holy Ghost falls on people. The Holy Ghost comes into people's lives as God Himself gives you the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You cannot deny tonight that I was preaching the Word of God. If you believe the Bible is true, you know I preach the truth tonight. Let's receive the Holy Ghost. Let's all get baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Oh yes, love Him. Worship Him tonight. He's worthy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. This is what's been spoken by the prophet Joel. Thank you, Jesus, tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the wonderful promise and the gift. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't be afraid to yield yourself to God. And I say that even to the saints. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name. That's right. Amen. Just let God have His way to the sinner and the saint. Hallelujah. Key to all them that heard the word. How can you hear without a preacher? You had one. So that part in Romans 10 is taken care of. Have you heard the word? As many as heard it, received it. Praise God. Dig a little bit in your heart and hear what's being said. There was no problem that day for them to receive the Holy Ghost because they knew they had heard from God. And whatever Peter was going to say was God. That was settled. Is it settled in you that what's being said from this place tonight is God? You just need to settle it in yourself. This is God. End of discussion. Then you can receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. No more confusion. No more question. No more doubt. Is this. Settle it. I've heard from God. This is the word. I've seen it for myself. And they received the Holy Ghost. One more time. Would you pray? Maybe it's not as settled as it can be right now in your life. Settle it. Just settle it. Praise God. Because this is just adding to your faith, whatever faith you have at this point. We're not taking anything away. Praise God. Let's pray. Amen. Jesus, we thank you again for the word of the Lord. And God, we don't want to overlook what's key here. As it was preached, praise God, those that received the Holy Ghost heard the word. God, we pray tonight that the message that was preached, the account given once again of the wonderful work you did in Cornelius' life, and the change that you brought about in the church of the living God, that would include both Jew and Gentile baptized into one body, that Lord, those that are present here and listening would just settle in themselves, I'm hearing from God. God has blessed my life down through the years. God has touched me, or God for the very first time has brought me into a chat room and I'm hearing from God. If you'll just settle in yourself and believe God, He will fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. Lord, we thank you. We pray for them in Jesus' name. Praise God that, Lord, they will not wrestle within themselves, that God, they'll simply just take you for your word and receive the Holy Ghost. God, we thank you. It's true. And we pray for the saints that, Lord, if they have not, God, had a good old worshiping and speaking with tongues and a refreshing in the Holy Ghost time, that God, nothing would keep them either. Hallelujah. Jesus' name.
There's a deep,
praise the Lord,
settled peace in my soul. Waves of God's holy love o'er me roll. Every day, every hour, I am kept by the power of a deep, settled peace in my soul. Oh, there's a deep, settled peace in my soul. Waves of God, holy love, o'er me roll. Every day, every hour, I am kept by the power of a deep, settled peace in my soul. My grandfather, who preached this gospel for
over half a century, had a brother by the name of Homer. Homer Rooks was a blind man who traveled around. I don't think he ever claimed that he was called to be a minister, but he had a great testimony. How God had brought him out of sin and given him the Holy Ghost, and he'd been baptized in Jesus' name. But he had to travel by bus and had to walk and be led everywhere he went because he was a blind man. But he would sing this song everywhere he went. On his deathbed, on the day that he was dying, he was singing this song and speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. The nurses became hysterical because they thought he had gone crazy. Amen. They went to his bedside in that nursing home where Uncle Homer was. And he was lying there, still blind. He'd been blind all of his life. But he had those hands waving as he was dying, speaking in tongues. You don't put on an act during a time like that, my friend. He was speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. He passed from this life speaking in tongues and singing. There's a deep, settled peace in my soul. Waves of God's holy love o'er me roll. Every day, every hour, I am kept by the power of a deep, settled peace in my soul. And they told us after he sung it a few times, spoke in tongues, and praised the Lord, he had this big smile come across his face, and he stopped breathing. Hallelujah. What a way to go. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.